Well, it is awesome to be here this morning, and I've just really enjoyed this morning because I've just enjoyed how much God has put together this service. You know, Alison didn't have a clue what I was speaking about this morning, and yet the songs were so appropriate, and the words that I received this morning were so appropriate. And in some ways, I'm presenting myself as an illustration of the sermon. And so I'm going to share a little bit, and I'm going to leave some things out and drop some things. But earlier this week, Ian said, "You're going to preach." And because I'm going away to America on Thursday, I thought, well, I'd really want to share my heart because I haven't had a chance before I go. And one of the reasons I haven't so far is I've been really exhausted. You know, I've just been drained with everything that's happened from the first trip here, going home and coming back again. And some of you might find it hard to believe, but it's actually been harder since we've got back than even going through the whole visa process. So it's been an interesting time for us. And I said, "Lord, do you want me to speak?" And he immediately gave me this picture. And what I thought it was about isn't ending up what it is about, and I'll share that in a minute. But I just knew it was right. And I guess if we're going to label this morning's talk, it'd be about choices. And as Ian shared, that we had the privilege of sharing at Oasis on Thursday. And what Florence doesn't know was that all the way here I was going, "I can't do this, Lord. I just can't do this." You didn't have a clue, did you? And it was worse than that. But on the way here, I just knew that it was the right thing to do. You know, so choices is about doing the right thing, whether we feel like it or not. And as Alison started this morning, she said, you know, we have to command our souls to praise the Lord. You know, we have to stir something up to say this is the right thing to do. It doesn't matter how I feel. Because I don't want to be a person led by my feelings, because my life's going to stink, really, if that's how I go. Because I'm going to go like this, and sometimes I'm going to go like that, and then I'm going to go, I'm crashing down, and my life's going to be dependent on however I wake up that morning, whether the sun's out or not. In England, it'll be worse because it rains most of the time, so that's not going to be a help. But, you know, let's remember that. You know, I've been stirring about the sun and beaches, and, you know, and that's just one of my little things I do, and I do miss them. But like Ian said, you know, we're here because of you. I mean, we're here because of him first. You know, you've shared our testimony and the fact that God has called us. But what keeps us here is you as well, because God has given us a real love for you guys. And even on Thursday, I come to Oasis, I'm going, I can't disappoint Florence and all those people waiting. And, you know, I think despite that, I would have done what God has said. Because if you knew my testimony, no one in my family knows the Lord yet. But I've followed him from way back, since I was a little girl. And I always believed that God, if God was God, he was to be obeyed. And that he was out there somewhere to find. And so my life has been a life of the next step, the next little thing. Whatever I knew or found out about God, I listened to, did, and moved on. And I'd always followed him, and I might have shared it last time, but at the age of 12, I was at a girl-guy type meeting, and someone said, "Have you asked Jesus into your life?" And I thought, oh, I haven't done that. Jesus, please come into my life. Amen. And when I had supper, you know, and people go, oh. And it was like, well, done. I've done it. They said it. I did it. It's done. Jesus is in me. Where's supper? It wasn't irreligious. It just was life. You know, it wasn't like I was being unholy. It was just my expectation as a kid was, that's all they said to do. It wasn't like I had to go through the Ten Commandments and repent. I didn't have to read from Genesis through to Revelation. They didn't say that. Had they said that, I might have done it. But this lady just said, "Have you asked Jesus into your life?" And I did. It took 30 seconds or less, and life went on. It was my next step in God, and it was exciting, but it was just the next step. So in some ways, I've lived my life about choices. I was persecuted at home for being a Christian, particularly by my older brother. Well, I'm the oldest, but, you know, the older of the two. And so in some ways, I had this life where I had to make choices all the time. Was I going to follow God? My dad didn't want me going to church. The list goes on. But I knew God was real, and I had this thing in me that if he was real, he was to be obeyed no matter what the cost. And so on Thursday, we came anyway, and people seemed to be blessed, which, you know, I'm really grateful for. But one of the things we shared is our testimony, and then we shared about the fact that we need to be real. You know, we shared about some of the not so good parts about being here and about some of the hard things. And we said, you know, we need to be real with God, and we need to be real with others and ask prayer and support, because we're not supposed to live life on our own. But we can't afford to stay there and only concentrate on what God isn't doing or how hard stuff is. We need to then refocus on, yes, that's a real part of my life, but I'm going to choose to focus on what God is doing. I'm going to choose to focus that he is real, that he is there, that he can use me because he's in me. And, you know, that all things work together for good. And I have this little bracelet here, and I loved it. As soon as I saw it at a Christian bookshop, it was actually in Bethel, I said, that's what I want for Mother's Day. Because it says stuff. It says, wrapped in God's promises, health, God makes the impossible possible, victory, protection, grace, favor, prosperity, guidance, hope, fabulous families. You know, and I try and wear it most of the time, because negative stuff comes at us all the time, whether it's whatever we're feeling or experiencing, or our friends are feeling or experiencing, or our families, or even really what you watch on TV. You know, you can get depressed looking at the news if you choose to, right? And some people actually can't watch the news, Bill Johnson being one. So it's not a, you know, because he says then it takes him days to get over it and to press into what God has, because he's believing for big things, not only for the city, but for the nation and the nations. But his wife watches it every day because she's called to intercede. And so she watches it, and it inspires her to pray. Right? So I'm not saying watch the news or don't, but I am saying choose whether you're someone who should or shouldn't. Because at the end of it, are you encouraged to pray? Or do you feel down and go, man, I want to move out of this country? Or is there a little island I can just go and hide in that's sunny all the time? Do you know what I'm saying? So today I chose to believe that when I'm weak, he is strong. And that I always have something to bring because he is in me. So I can't stand up and hum and not have something to bring. Even if it's just who I am and my relationship with him. The really important thing about worship is that, you know, a few people have said, how come you're always happy? You know, whenever worship's on, as you know, I'm the one who dances and I'm the one who claps. And you'd be surprised at how few mornings I've arrived ready to dance and clap. I choose to dance and clap because I choose to move in joy, and I've learned to choose that he is worthy of all praise, and I choose to clap because actually I'm commanding my body to align up with what's true and with what's right. And it's a lifestyle I've chosen. And it might surprise you that I was one of the shyest people at school. You know, and people would go, yeah. People would go, hi, Sabina. I'd go, hi. Nice day, isn't it? if you say so. And then I remember having a time with God one time and saying, God saying to me, as clear as I can hear it, it wasn't audible, but it may as well have been. And he said, Sabina, how are you going to share with others about me if you can't even talk about the weather? And I went, yeah, good point. And I literally the next day went to school, saw someone I didn't know and went up to them, hi, my name's Sabina. And they went, I think I'll leave right now. You know, you could tell in their expression. But, you know, it was me choosing to obey. Like, it was, and it did come out like that, I'm sure, and I feel sorry for the person. I hope God's healed them from that encounter, you know, and they've been able to move on. But it's a choice. You know, you can't say, I'm shy, I'm, you know, the enemy wants to use anything about us to stop us from sharing his love, his joy, his peace. I had to get over being shy, and now I'm so glad. But the process wasn't easy, as you can well imagine. Now, as I've said, I'd rather talk to 5,000 people than to be making cups of tea in the back, because that stresses me more than being here. Had that happened before I chose to walk out of my shell and of who I was, and of what circumstances had dealt with to me, because I was actually born in Peru. My family were Italian. They'd met and married there. And at one stage, we skipped the country. My parents left everything behind. We landed in Australia, and about the only words of English I knew was, this is a cat, because I'd been taught that at school, and it's about the only thing. And I'm thinking, I can't even see a cat. You know, so that didn't help with being shy, you know what I mean? Like, that's like, you know, you can imagine the names I got called, you can imagine what goes on, you know, school's not a friendly place. And so all that led to circumstances which made me have to get over who I was in order to be who God wanted me to be. You know, it's all in the end about choices. And on Sunday mornings, I choose to clap. And within a song or two, I am happy. Because I've allowed God to bring my body, my spirit, my mind into alignment with the truth that I am very blessed, that I should be very thankful, and that he has everything for me no matter what. That he can work all things together for good. And that it doesn't matter what I'm going through to you, through today. He is worth it all. And I choose to surrender even what I feel to him this morning so that I can bless him and he can bless others through me. You know that if you're not happy and joyful, and I don't mean that you're fake, right? I shared things aren't that easy at the moment. But I mean I want him to shine, not what I'm feeling, not what I'm going through. And he is love. He is joy. He is peace. And so actually I am being real when I share with others once I choose to come under who he is and bring my body into alignment. So if you'd seen me earlier this morning, I was tired, a little grumpy, and a little stressed. But I'm not now. And nothing's changed in my circumstances except that I've made the choice, as I do every day, and especially on Sunday mornings, God, you are so worth it. No matter what the cost, no matter how I feel. And Lord, I want to be a blessing today. And if I'm grumpy, and if I'm sad, and if I'm down, and if I'm doubting, that isn't going to happen. So I choose to receive your grace, and I choose to bless. But I have to bring myself into that, just like I had to make myself go up to people and say, nice day, isn't it? And then they were going, if you say so. See you later. You know, when I prayed about this morning, the picture I actually got, which was going to take me down a different track, was of a ship and all of us here in Slough, our church, our family here, being on the ship, you know, hoisting anchors, going up sails. You know those big old ships where you needed 300 people or you weren't going to make it from A to B, you know, and everyone had to be doing their own part. And in some ways I feel like that's a choice before us. I think God's calling us to a new destiny, to a new destination. And we want to be a happy crew. And a happy crew chooses to do their job well and to bless others by what they do. And also, if we are choosing that, there'll be times when we'll have different roles and it'll be okay by us. You know, again, it's a choice. I might be wanting to be at the helm today, but I'm actually the cabin boy today. And it's okay because actually at the helm is Jesus. And he's the captain. And we're going for the ride. And I'm so glad that he's at the helm, and because he can read the winds, you know what I mean? And he knows how deep it is, and he knows where we have to go. He knows when to bring the sails down, when to go. And that picture was something that I think I'm going to be praying into, you know, that we all become part of this crew, all going in the same direction, all fulfilling our roles, and all choosing to prefer one another, to bless one another, as we go on this journey. You know, we need to choose to soak ourselves in truth. And we need to choose to recognize the lies that the enemy has. How many of you know that as we train others, like with my boys, we did stuff like when they were 2, 3, or 4, I don't know who gave us the idea or if we read somewhere, is that, you know, like we had dishes to do. And there were things that you didn't want them to touch because they might cut themselves, like the glasses. But we chose to give them the cutlery and stuff like that and pots and pans to dry, put away. And we actually moved the cutlery drawer from the top to the bottom because they were too short otherwise to be able to put away the knives and forks. And it was really inconvenient because when anyone came to and wanted to help us set the table, they'd open the first drawer and they'd find anything but cutlery, and they'd get to the bottom drawer and they'd finally find it and go, yeah, our boys put it away, it's the only height they can reach, I'm sorry, but we had to bend to do it, do you know what I mean? And also when they're learning to do jobs, it takes 10 times, 100 times longer if they're helping you than if you did it yourself. And, you know, there's stuff that each of us is gifted in, and we might see others around us who are not so good but who want to be trained at it. It'll be easy for us to go, I can do it so much quicker myself. But to prefer one another, to be on this ride, will also take times when we're training others and making things less convenient instead of more convenient. But in the long term, you know, they can now have the cutlery on the top drawer. And in fact, if it wasn't for the fact that they'd been taught to do dishes, to put them away and to do all this other stuff, these last 2 months would have been terrible for me on top of everything else. But it started when they were, and in fact, one of them's, since Corey was our cook, one of them has taken up that passion. And some nights it's more work if they cook than if I do afterwards. You know what I mean, especially your mums. But I am glad that they're choosing to do that, and their wives will really thank me for it. So there's a whole lot of stuff that I've got here. I think in the end, we want to be known as people of faith and people of love. We want to honour and please God, and we want to change our world, whether it's our family, our neighbourhood, our neighbours, all of England, Africa, Pakistan, the nations. I mean, I believe we're called to the nations. So if we're going to have that as our call and as our core value, then it's going to be messy at times. As we learn to find our roles, as we train others and prefer them to take, you know, there was also times when, you know, the boys get credit for things and you think, I could do better than that. But as a mum and dad, you never think that, do you? As a mum or dad, if your kids are getting the glory, you're going, yes. And that's the attitude we should. Now, if someone else's kid or someone else, we might be going, oh, come on. Let's be honest. But that's not a good attitude, but it is what happens, right? Because it's the people we love we want to see lifted. And others, we might get jealous or go, how come I didn't get to, or how come my kids didn't get to? You know what I'm saying? But if we're all called to be a family in this church called Slough, greatest church on earth, yes. Then we all have to learn to prefer one another and to see each other as family, so that when someone is given a job that we would want, instead of going, that's not fair, how come, we go, yes, go for it. That's so good. Look what's happening. You hearing me? Yes. If we're all family, and it's a choice, isn't it, in the end? Circumstances don't change it. It's our heart attitude that needs changing, and it's a choice that we make. So I've got much too much for this morning, so give me a minute. As we make that choice, the two things that are really important that we grow in is that we grow in knowledge of who God is and of who we are in Him. We talk about that all the time because it's those two things that make us secure. You know that if you're insecure, it's much harder to prefer other people. If you're feeling insecure, that's when you need to be noticed. But if we find our security in who we are and who God is, then this will work much easier. Now, that doesn't mean that we won't make mistakes, and it doesn't mean that we don't have our grumpy days. But when we are, we go, no, this isn't right. And we choose to worship God, and we choose to bring our thoughts into line with truth and with life, and go, God, they're your kid, they're my family, and I'm going to bless them. I'm going to choose to bless what you're doing in them and through them, and my time will come, because it will. In families, there's times and seasons for everybody to shine. I really wanted to touch on that whole thing of choices, because the one thing that actually stops us from moving into all that God has is that sometimes we feel, and I feel, that everything's too tough. That word was so important for someone, and I don't want to miss this. So I have a lot more to say when I get back from America. Maybe I'll get a chance to expand. But I want us to go out with hope and with how important choice is, because I think God has big things in store for us. And when He has big things in store for us, we usually have to make big choices. Some of you have already made those. Some of you made a choice to stay here even though, you know, you didn't want to meet in the small hall. Hey, Mary. She doesn't mind. Do you know what I'm saying? Some of us are already making the right choices, but I think bigger choices will be asked of all of us. And if it wasn't for that call, I could easily choose to get on the next plane to New Zealand and enjoy my beach and sunshine and just leave all this behind. But I'm not, right? And I wouldn't, but there are days that I feel like that. There are some mornings where I've woken up, or some evenings, and I just go, can I just go to Tahiti even? You know, anywhere that's warm.
She did used to say that in New Zealand as well.
So I did. It's a, so, you know, circuit, like, and it's true. If I went back home, I'd be missing all you and going, why did I come home? But you know what I mean? So again, it's all about choices. It's about being real and honest. And people have asked me, how was your week? And I tell them, and they go, it's going to be great. And it's lovely to hear from people and to get that feedback. And it will be great. And there will be fruit. And I will choose to stay. But as I was preparing this, and it took this slight twist, I was reminded of a short clip I'd seen a few months back. And as we leave, I want to go back to this thing of choices. And let's be blown away by God, what God can do when we choose truth and life and love, and we choose not to let the enemy, because he started way back in Genesis, has God really said? That's where it all starts, in our stinking thinking, as we like to say. That's where the downhill starts, if we choose not to look up again. You know, if we choose to go to doubt God instead of get back to truth and to know, I will praise God, I will love others, I will choose to be a blessing. And let's be inspired to want to choose life. I've never shown a video during a sermon before, but I really feel this is really important. Some of you may want tissues at hand. Be warned.
Let me just say to all of you on Facebook right now, to everybody who has a complaint on the tip of your tongue, I want you just to shut your mouth and watch this tape, because Pastor Rick had one request for tonight's show, to include a man who he says is one of the best examples of winning the hand you're dealt. This is going to shut your mouth. It's going to shut your mouth. Just close it right now. Take a look at this.
Born in Australia without arms or legs, 30-year-old Nick Vujicic has become a symbol of triumph against all odds. His inspiring YouTube videos have been watched over 100 million times.
It's a lie to think that you're not good enough. It's a lie to think that you're not worth anything.
But the road to self-acceptance was excruciating for Nick. For years, he was harassed and tormented at school. When he was 10, Nick attempted suicide. After years of feeling worthless and alone, Nick's awakening came while reading an article about a disabled man who refused to let physical limitations hold him back. In that moment, Nick says he discovered the power to take control of his life, and he has. Today, Nick surfs, he snorkels, he golfs, and plays soccer. He's traveled to 44 countries with his message of hope.
Even the worst part of your life can come together for the good.
And less than a year ago, Nick married the love of his life and danced at their wedding.
Nick's in our audience tonight. Say hello to Nick. We're standing up for Nick. Now, this is what's so unbelievable. As you've heard, people complain about the spots on their face, and people complain about not having a boyfriend and not being able to have the mates of their life. What happened to you that you were able to take all of take your chemistry, being born with no arms and no legs, take your connections, your relationships, your life circumstances, mm-hmm. your state of consciousness, and then choose, make the conscious choice yeah. that you were going to take all of that which the rest of the world looks at, you know, undeniably as a pretty bad hand, and that you were going to turn it into something, you were going to be exalted by it. What happened to you that you were able to do that?
Oprah, I know that you love to think out of the box and have things outside of the box on your yes. show. Yeah. And I know that you love illustration. So if I may illustrate in about 180 seconds, can I do something a little crazy, but it'll
Certainly.
Be powerful?
Go
Is that
right
cool?
Ahead.
You got a camera behind me, right?
Yeah.
I've got to show you. Come. This step right here, is there enough light here?
Okay.
The chemistry. I was born without arms and legs. The chemistry I could not change in my life. I know that God didn't give me this pain, but what the enemy tried to use for bad, he turned into good. Man, the connections. I want to tell Porsche. Look, I'm a guy, I love cars, okay? And I love Porsches more than Ferraris, okay? And I want everyone to know that we are wonderfully and fearfully made. And until you can actually understand that we are all wonderfully and fearfully made from God, I want you to know that you will always be trapped and chained and you will be stopped. But when you have the incredible power of faith in action, nothing holds you back. And you're beautiful just the way that you are. No worries. For me, I felt the connection. Yeah. For me in my life, I'm thinking, man, I'm not going to get married. I can't even hold my wife's hand. What connection am I going to have? But you know what? All things come together for the good for those who love him. Man, this is a little bit high. I'm going to break my arm, man. This is pretty crazy. All right.
I'm going to break my arm.
Circumstances. Being born without arms and legs, man, it's all about choice. You asked me what it was. I had parents who were my heroes. They always said, you can either be angry for what you don't have or be thankful for what you do have. Yeah. Do your best and God will do the rest. And then consciousness. Because I gave my life to Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And the renewing of my mind.
Hallelujah.
Wow. I knew that I could be unstoppable.
Thank you. There's more. There's the longer version. He goes on to say to make sure that you always look up. Now, I wanted to share that because, you know, we're all dealt different hands and we all go through different things. And there's always someone who you think is better off. There's always someone who is worse off. And even if you have the same circumstances as someone else, some of us handle different things better than others. And it doesn't matter. You know, like I look at him and I cried and I thought, man, I am nowhere near that. You know, so when we're going through a tough time, let's be encouraged. I mean, Ian and I talked about that and we thought, what about the parents? You know, if they put that into him, they must have had to do some real heart search themselves. And they had to come to the point of being thankful that they had him. Despite everything that went wrong. And despite the fact that most medical doctors would have told them to abort, etc. You know, there's more to that that we haven't seen. But if someone like that can choose life, let's be inspired and encouraged that no matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going through, if we give it all to God, he can work all things together for good. And I love the fact that he said, God didn't give me this pain. Right? He didn't give it to us. The greatness and the whole thing of God, we don't understand. We don't understand why some things happen, why some things don't. But what we have to do is look at truth and say, God, you are good. I don't understand how the whole things work. But I know that you can make all things work together for good because you always do. And that is an example that we should never forget. Because if God can do it in him, yeah. Right? What? Enough said, right? And, you know, it says that in, in Hebrews 11:6, it talks about that we must believe, you know, that God is and that he rewards those who seek him. You know, we often quote it there, you know, without faith it is impossible to please God. But we forget the second half that says, because we first must know that he is and that he rewards those who seek him. And someone who rewards is someone who is good, who will, no matter what is happening, who as long as we're seeking him, he will reward us. And it might not be the way that we like, and it might not happen how we think it should happen, but the truth is he will reward us. The other thing he goes on to say is that he says, Oprah, what you have to remember is that it doesn't matter what hand you get given, God holds all the chips. And isn't that a good illustration of he rewards those who seek him? It doesn't matter. We could have the worst losing hand, but God holds all the chips, and he will reward us, and he will give us what we need. And he will bless us beyond what we can possibly imagine. I mean, you look at him and you think about so many lives, and I even think about myself, and I think, man, if I had that attitude. You know, I'm getting there, but I'm not there. But that's really where we should all be, and that's where we're aiming to be. To choose life, to choose truth, to choose love, and to choose to be a blessing despite the hand we're dealt with, whether it's when we were born or the hand that we've got in our hands today, because it changes, right? Our hand changes. But whatever hand we have in our hands today, it's all going to turn out for good because God is with us and he will not forsake us. Amen. And he will not leave us. And we need to choose and to not let the enemy have his way. Because the only way that we God will still win in the end, but the only way that we don't get our reward for today is if we choose to stay in the lie or in the circumstances we're in, not because God can't bless us in it, and he is still, but because, A, we can't see it, even if he is, if we're still looking at the negative all the time. Or B, because he gives us a choice and he will not choose to take over without our permission. So if we come and go, I am not happy with you, God, and I'm not going to praise you, it's not that he can't still make us joyful, but he won't, because he's given us a choice. And it's the greatest gift that he ever gave us, the choice to whether we worship or not, the choice to whether we love or not, the choice to whether we live or not. And he will not cut across that if we don't give him the choice. So we need to partner with him to choose what is good, to choose what is right, and to bring ourselves into, here I am, God, send me. Let's just pray. Father, I thank you that you are a good God. I thank you for Nick's life, Lord. I thank you for his parents. I pray that wherever he is right now, that you'll continue to bless him, to be a blessing. And Father, as we come before you, I ask that you help each of us choose you and choose life each day to the glory of Jesus. And Father, would you knit us together as a family to love one another, to prefer one another, to see Slough become the greatest city in England. And from there to reach the nations to the glory of your name. Amen.